Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob and Pete work their way through the loaded Tuesday slate with a little help from a friend. Is it time to cut the cord on underperformers? Or, as the Japanese say, is practicing patience the way to go? It's the Tuesday edition.
How's it going, everybody? Jensen and Reese here with you on this Tuesday morning, November 5th, talking DFS and season-long fantasy for this loaded Tuesday slate, Rob.
Loaded Tuesday slate, and JT is back for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight.
That's exciting. I mean, the Maple Leafs, it's funny. I went on Sportsnet 590, the fan, this morning. The first thing they asked me was about the Islanders' success, and then the second thing they asked me was about the Maple Leafs comments, or the comments regarding the Maple Leafs from two of the superstars around the league, Ovechkin and Doughty. And you just think about the perception of that team, everything going crazy wrong right now. Mm-hmm. JT can bring some calm, cool demeanor to get the train back on track.
Yeah, and it's funny because they were kind of getting killed in the media the past few weeks, saying everyone's kind of criticizing them, saying, you know, they've got to play different if they want to be a playoff winning team, which, you know, I guess is true at the end of the day. But JT's the guy that brings that presence to the locker room. Now, the only caveat with him returning, DFS owners, you know, don't have the luxury of picking and choosing anymore. You've got to now say, hey, am I taking Jonathan Tavares? Am I taking Mitchell Marner? Am I taking Matthews? It's a blessing, but it's also a problem.
And it's amazing. During these struggles, you look at the team that they're very aware of, the Boston Bruins, just absolutely rolling these days. They got a little scare from the Penguins, like we said they might, but they finished the job, and that team has been lights out this season.
Lights out, and they've got an exciting matchup tonight. For that, I'd like to bring in a special handpicked by myself birthday guest for today's show. It's our friend Chris Wassel. Chris Wassel, DFS on Twitter, the host of Fantasy X. He also appears on DraftKings' The Sweat Show. Chris, how you feeling, man?
It's a good day. It's probably the warmest day of the week here, kids. That's get really like hockey weather in the next few days. So get gripped in and let's go.
And I saw that you were talking to Rob about his birthday. We got to get together sometime soon to watch some pucks, man.
It sounds like a great plan. Just find an eatery that can accommodate me for like a 9-pound Sicilian pizza.
Sounds great. That sounds delicious. But so for this Tuesday slate, 11-game mammoth, and you're the mastermind. So we want to get your thoughts on a lot of these games. We see the Islanders are huge favorites at home. Second home, I guess, Barclays Center against the Senators, who just whooped the Rangers on Monday night. What are your thoughts on that game? Is there any appeal to these sneaky Senators?
There is always appeal to the Senators, especially one Jean-Gabriel Pageau, who every time I roster this guy, he seems to do something. I mean, look, is he the best first-line center in the world? He's far from it.
Right.
But for Ottawa and the fact that he is so vastly underpriced, especially on FanDuel, where he's still below 4,000, which shocks me. I mean, it's not like he's only been a first liner for a couple games. He's been pretty much on the top six the whole season out of necessity, and still, he may go down in the annals of DFS as being the Sean Monahan of this year, where he basically stays right around 3,500 to 4,500 all season long, and you get value every single night.
So is that value tonight against one of the hottest goaltenders in the league, Thomas Greiss? Is that still a must play, or does that make you maybe say, okay, I love J.G. Pageau in season long, but for DFS, I'm looking elsewhere?
It is tougher. I mean, you have 10 other games to look at. But for his value in other ways, shots and block shots, you still have to at least roster him. I mean, for this one reason, too. He does occasionally hit the DraftKings block bonus of all things, and that's unusual for a forward, but he does tend to block a lot of shots for a forward, and he does get 2 to 3 good scoring chances a game. I'm going to play him anyway for the simple reason is, look, I hate to say it, Islander fans, but at some point your luck is going to run out in a big way. So it may not be tonight, but it will be eventually.
I was just going to say something along those lines, because they have the highest shooting percentage plus save percentage in the entire league, on the verge of a 10-game winning streak. But Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the wheels came off at some point later this month of November. So are any interest in Barzell and, you know, his line mates, Bailey and Lee? I know I have Barzell in my lineup for tonight, just off the basis of Ottawa coming off back-to-back games.
Yeah, I always try to look and exploit the non-rested or sludge plays, if you will. Lee a little bit more tonight, actually, than Barzell. Look, Ottawa's penalty kill is not the greatest, and though some of their numbers have improved a little bit, their chances allowed are amongst the worst in the league. Still, that's never going to change. If it was Anders Nielsen in that, I'd be a little, I'm tempted to say Anderson is the projected as of press time. So I'm definitely more keen on picking Anders Lee tonight, actually, just to get maybe one cheap garbage goal on the power play.
Carolina plays Philadelphia tonight, Chris. Carter Hart is getting the nod for the Flyers. Is that a player that you're concerned about in season-long leagues?
A little bit. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I saw the game against New Jersey where – He got a bit lucky on a save that probably was a goal, but you know we'll let Toronto handle that one. And then the next few games, you saw little quirks in his game where the lateral movement wasn't quite there, and you start going, well, Philly is one of the most stingy teams at 5-on-5 in shots allowed per game and chances allowed per game, which is a huge turnaround from last year. And you can't even quantify it at this point. Small sample size, but nonetheless, impressive turn. And Hart is not making the saves that he made last year. It's a big problem. It really is. He has to get himself right first. And Carolina is not exactly the team that you want to be going up against when trying to do that.
And he's going to have Svechnikov lurking behind the net trying to score some crazy goal. He's been on some kind of tear. He's got 7 multi-point games through 13 for a teenager. That's remarkable. And then he's playing with Sebastian Aho and Warren Fogle. Is there any interest in some deep dive value play for Warren Fogle on the top line?
A little bit, just because even though he doesn't get the necessary ice time that you would want for a top line guy, even at a 5-on-5, He gets enough to where he can make an impact. So for his low price, you know, you're looking at two things in DFS. You're looking at price per dollar, point per dollar. You know, in that sense, or more point per dollar and then point per minute. And in the case of, you know, for technically Svechnikov, that point per minute is, I mean, especially lately, is it on the level of some of the top guys, the super top guys? No. But it's darn close. I mean, look, he's knocking on the door on the DK shot bonus the last 4 nights. You have to consider actually both as a mini winger stack, at least somewhere in your lineups, just to get a little money saved for the big guy.
All right, I like that meta, Chris. Now for Toronto Maple Leafs tonight, JT is back in the lineup after that broken hand injury. How can you figure out this team in DFS moving forward? Are you going JT or are you going Austin Matthews?
I hate to do it because there's always that little one-game rust rule for me that often burns me more than it should. But at least for tonight, I would be willing to see what Tavares does before I roster him anywhere. I wouldn't just jump the gun yet, and I would go with Matthews tonight. Just because of better matchup and better line combinations.
Chris, so for Tavares' line mate, you know it's going to be Marner on one side. Who do you think it's going to be on the other side once Zach Hyman comes back? Could it be Mikhaev? Could it be Kapanen like it was earlier in the season? Or is it going to be good old reliable Zach Hyman?
I think ultimately Babcock's going to go with Hyman. Is he the right guy? Yes and no. He is for stability. But is he for offense? No. I'm still always intrigued to see what Mikhaev could do with a full bona fide top six role and a solid amount of power play minutes.
Boston is taking on Montreal tonight. I always watch those games when those two teams play. Boston starting Tuukka Rask. Is there any home appeal in betting Montreal tonight?
Oh, I hope I'm not going to have this one come back and bite me. But yes, there most certainly is. Look, let's put this in an honest way, and this is fun to look at. There is one team. There is one team in the East right now that has 10 wins on the puck line right now, other than Boston. It's Montreal of all teams.
Wow.
For what it's worth, and for what you have to kind of throw out there, I've watched the numbers till all morning, guys. Boston was a dead 50-50 split when I woke up at about a little 5 a.m. this morning.
Wow.
It's now 60-40 Boston in most places. So you're now basically getting even to almost where Montreal is a slight underdog in some places, depending on your sites out there. It's a good old finagle situation. I'm taking Montreal tonight simply because there's only one difference between these two teams, and it is the power play. But for one night, at least at home, Montreal has enough 5-on-5 to be able to take on a tired Boston team and actually win.
There's a big discrepancy. You mentioned the power play of Boston, best in the league. Montreal's PK is fourth worst in the league, so that's a matchup discrepancy. Of course, Boston is just absolutely rolling right now. Marchand and Pasternak, both at two or more points per game on the season. That is just absolutely insane. And if you're playing DFS and you're playing a bigger contest, are you still going with the high ownership Pasternak or Marchand?
You have to go at one of them. I mean, I tried to almost sit there and restrain myself on FanDuel last night and not roster Pasternak. And 30 points later, I'm glad I still made the decision to do so. I mean, look, for perspective, Pasternak is 9,200 now on FanDuel. 2 years ago, when Ovechkin had that crazy streak where he had like 30 goals in 20 games, Ovechkin was at 9,500. We're getting to that level where Pasternak is just an unheard of and incomprehensible prices that rival the imagination. And look, Marchand's not far behind, so you have to play them while you can.
The Devils kick off their Western Canada road trip tonight, Chris. I know they looked pretty good against the Hurricanes over the weekend. Is that a team where you think they can get some momentum with a big win against the Winnipeg Jets?
Oh, boy, guys. I feel sorry for the people listening to what I have to say right now, but in a word, no. Here's the problem with New Jersey, and I'll get crucified for this amongst our illustrious New Jersey beat writers for this. It comes down to coaching. We have, unfortunately, a coaching staff that just doesn't seem to handle prosperity or adversity well these days and has tinkered with the lines again, frustrating us in a fantasy way more than anything else. Jack Hughes was doing so well, 7 points in his last six games. His expected goals for was over 62% in this stretch. So naturally, you take them off the top line and switch them to the second line.
That's brutal.
I mean, there is a stack of number guys over the last six games, and I know there was a tongue-in-cheek thing about the Devils having points in five of their last six games and how social media received that so well. But the problem in New Jersey is they can't win in Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the last goalie to beat Winnipeg in Winnipeg, it feels like it was Johan Hedberg.
Wow.
But actually, Hedberg beat them in New Jersey in a shootout. But it's been a long while since they've played well there. I mean, this is a place where New Jersey played, and Corey Schneider actually threw a stick at Bryce Salvador, literally, for like letting up two goals by him that would never have happened. I mean, there is a bit of a house of horrors with the new building. And the problem with New Jersey tonight is they're facing an equally hungry Winnipeg team that is just as all over the place defensively as they are. So at the very least, expect a ton of shots and chances and probably goals too.
I think it could be an over-type night in that game, and especially Kyle Connor's back on the top line with Scheifele and Wheeler. I really like him
finally
in DFS. And Sami Vatanen, I mean, we talked about him last show, but do you think this guy could usurp P.K. Subban on the power play one and stay there?
He should have already, arguably. Here's the difference, and I like P.K., but P.K. does not unleash the shot enough that he has. Where Vatanen may not have as fast of a shot as P.K. Subban, but what Vatanen excels at particularly is the shots often stay low, which is important, and often leads to rebounds, which may be the most important on the power play, just because you have a lot of good guys like Palmieri and Hall, et cetera, that can clean up pucks. Oh, and Simmons, too, when he's a little bit right. Mm-hmm. And you need that on the power play more than a guy that winds up and takes a huge shot, but shoots hot, medium to high a lot. And unfortunately, that is what Subban does more than, say, a Vatanen. And ultimately, for power play success, you need a Vatanen over a Subban.
Give us your DFS lineup locks for tonight.
Fun, as always. All right. Look, for goalie, oh, God, don't look. Don't look. But it's John Gibson, because I'm so angry that they did not play Gibson over the weekend and probably cost me at least three or four good placements. Two, centers, because you need those two. Okay, the most important thing that you're going to need to know tonight amongst your centers is this. You still have to play one of the Boston guys, unfortunately. But I'm actually going with Mark Scheifele tonight. I'm going with Winnipeg 1 against what will be a god-awful defensive pairing from New Jersey from hell that they'll face. And may there be many, many scoring chances. Wing, obviously. Look, it would be cliche to go after guys like Pasternak, but you know what? It's been a while. Patrick Kane needs some love too. Mm-hmm. He's finally playing with the as I like to call it, the bouncing power duo of the Brinkat and Strom. At least enough of a correlation there. And for what it's worth, he did show up against Anaheim, which is a good sign for tonight. And of course, I can't forget defense guys. I never could. Dougie Hamilton against Philadelphia tonight.
Mm-hmm. He's a beast.
He's a beast. He generates at least three shots, block shots a game. Often in the neighborhood of 3 to 3.5 shots a game, sometimes more. At the very least, your peripherals are filled. And that equal power play timeshare in Carolina is still working just enough that even if he's on the first unit, if he's on the second unit, it doesn't really matter. You have to play him anyway.
Makes sense. And in terms of wagering info for our listeners, what is your lock of the night for sports betting?
Look, again, another one that can always come back to haunt me, but take Winnipeg in the minus goal and a half. You're still getting a plus 160 to 170 in most places. It's a nice number. It's not like some of the crooked ones that you see out there. And if you're really afraid somehow the over-under not hitting at 6.5 in that game. Mm-hmm. Go back a little bit in New Jersey, at least on BetMGM, and you can bet 5.5 at minus 150. So,
wow.
Some sites are going to let you go up a goal and down a goal on your over-under. So do watch for that as you're betting tonight.
Well, great insight as always, Chris, and hopefully you avoid any Twitter frenzy with some of the hot takes that you dropped today.
Oh, absolutely, guys. Thank you very much. And Rob, of course, enjoy the birthday, and we will meet for food soon enough.
I'm looking forward to it, Chris.
And let's roll.
Let's do it, man.
Thanks again, Chris. You can follow him on Twitter. Great DFS follow. He's the maestro at Chris Wassel DFS on Twitter. So for this Tuesday slate, I think there were a lot of good comments from Chris. I like the guts to say that Montreal pick against Boston. Mm-hmm. There might be some merit there.
I love it. And those are my favorite games to watch. I mean, dating back to, decades now. I mean, those are the best games on the slate. So for that reason alone, I love that Chris came out and picked against the Bruins. Obviously, that didn't go so well for me on Monday, but let's hope Chris has better fortunes on Tuesday.
You would have to believe the Bruins emptied the tank last night. Up 3-0, Penguins storm back, they score a goal in the third period, Bruins end up winning, they got to go now to Montreal back-to-back. You would think the tank is empty and finally the Bruins are going to lose a game, but geez, this train is just going and going and going.
This is the night, I think, to get one of the relatively unknown, unheralded Montreal Canadiens into your lineup, whether it's a Petrie or a Thomas Tatar. They're pretty consistent. They're not going to be in many people's lineups just because of the general success of the Bruins. And those are the type of plays where if you stack Montreal or even just roster one of them, that could set you apart from the pack.
Now, a matchup we didn't get to talk about with Chris was the Colorado Avalanche facing the Dallas Stars. Mm-hmm. Dallas is at home. They've been playing better. Now, the depth scoring still remains to be seen there for them. John Klingberg, where are you? But, Pete, is that a team now that you feel safer putting some money on?
Yeah, I think Dallas should win this game, especially when you consider two of the three top liners for Colorado are out. They beat them the other day. That was on the road. I like Dallas here tonight. Isner's going to be in the building, I know, so that's pretty cool. I like Gurianov if you're looking for cheap exposure to this game. He had 2 goals and 7 shots in the last game, and he's playing with Hintz and Pavelski. And then I would say a rule of thumb for this game, Dallas's offense is bound to click on the power play eventually, but even if it doesn't, I would get either Hintz or Radulov in my lineup for tonight without question.
I like that play. Now, for my DFS lineup, you know, the best way to win is stacking. We all know it. So I'm looking at the Chicago-San Jose game with a little bit of intrigue because Pat Kane, when he scores an overtime winning goal, I don't know if this is a stat or not, but mentally I believe that the Blackhawks just kind of go on these little hot runs after that happens. So I'd be looking to stack up a couple Hawks tonight, including Pat Kane.
And Taves is playing with Kane now. He had 3 points in 2 games over the weekend. You can get the sense that maybe he, especially against a vulnerable team like the Sharks, start a 4-game homestand tonight, have nothing going for them. Luck isn't going for them. They have a great penalty kill, and they've been generating shots and a high volume, but it hasn't mattered. They're snake-bitten right now. So look for Taves and Kane to pounce on this weaker opposition.
And I could see that being a 5-4 final score type game. With that being said, DFS targets for myself tonight. My goalie, great minds think alike here, so I did have John Gibson in my lineup. Mm-hmm. That Anaheim game to me just seems one where I agree with Chris over the weekend. Can't believe that Gibson wasn't in net, but 6-6-0 on the season with a .936 save percentage. I mean, that's as good as anybody's numbers in the league. I'm surprised he doesn't have more wins.
He'll return value for you in this game, even if he does lose a close one. And that's what I worry about with Gibson. I love the pick, but, I mean, the guy's been amazing, and he's 500 record. He's won consecutive games now, and that got him to 500. So what does that really say about his supporting cast?
It's true. It doesn't say a whole lot. That's for sure. Speaking of other players, Taylor Hall is a guy that is in my lineup. Now, he's just been on a tear. I'm not ready to say, you know, that I love New Jersey, hammer them on the road. Obviously, Chris has a much better scoop on them than I do. But I think Taylor Hall is a guy that even if they lose the game, he's going to return value in DFS.
I like that over, like I mentioned with Chris. I think Hall has been great on the power play 5 straight games, I believe, with a power play point. So you could tap into him with Sammy Vatanen, who's on the first unit. I have Vatanen in my lineup. I have Kyle Connor in my lineup. He has just been pounding out shots on goal. Had a big game the other day offensively and starting to pick up steam. He remained relevant when he was away from the top two dogs, and now he's back with them where he belongs.
It's impressive that when that happens, when you're away from the good players and you still produce. Mm-hmm. Very good sign for DFS. Now, Alex Edler is my defenseman tonight. The reason why I made that pick is because his ice time, he played 29 minutes and 30 minutes each in his past 2 games. That is ridiculous exposure. Julius Pettersson, who's top 10 in scoring this year, Brock Besser, JT Miller, who has the highest Corsi in the NHL, a little advanced stats love. So nice. Alexander Edler, get him in your lineup.
And if Quinn Hughes is playing or not playing, he'll probably still be a little banged up. So Edler's a nice choice there. I have actually Adam Boqvist. After we talked to Harding yesterday, I was mulling a decision. I'm in this one league where I've lost 2 weeks in a row, and I need an upside add. I dropped Devon Taves for the Islanders, who we think might come back down to earth eventually, and I went with the upside add of Boqvist. So what do you think about that move?
Well, I'll make you feel better about the pickup, because the problem with Devon Taves is that he and Pulak and even Letty, when Letty's healthy, they all kind of trade the weeks where they're productive. And then the next week, you don't see anything for your week-to-week matchup. So at least the upside with Boqvist is, hey, this is a guy that has a lot of promise, a lot of talent. He can come in, capture the top power play, and keep that spot for the remainder of the season.
Well, you instilled some confidence in me. I like that. So I'm rolling Boqvist in his third NHL game after he scored a goal in his second on three shots on goal. And then the Coyotes, how about that? They pulled out that win in the big Pacific Division tilt on the road in Edmonton. In overtime, Stepan's goal. They are in action again, second of a back-to-back at the Flames. Do you like Antti Raanta at Calgary? Do you trust him in that spot?
I've fully converted to a Darcy Kemper guy at this point, so I would fade the Coyotes in that game. Besides that, I watched till end of that Edmonton game, the Edmonton-Arizona game, and the Coyotes just were able to lock it down in that kind of playoff fashion where we're going to win this game at all costs. To me, that says they got so up for that on Monday night. It might be hard to duplicate that on Tuesday, so I would give the edge to Calgary in that game, but nothing against Arizona, a team I'm very high on.
That was a playoff atmosphere for sure, and they passed the test, the measuring stick, the whole bit. So now let's get to our DFS lineup or picks for tonight. I know you don't always give them all away in sneaky fashion, but I got Roope Hintz, Matt Barzal, Brad Marchand, 28 points in 14 games. Wow. Jeff Carter, high shot volume at Toronto, probably really low ownership. Kyle Connor, like I mentioned, Svechnikov, Boqvist, Vatanen, and then I think – whoever starts in Vancouver. I kind of like Vancouver at home against the Blues.
Interesting. Definitely a nice statement game for them, opportunity to keep it rolling. For me, I'm going John Gibson, Taylor Hall, Sebastian Aho, Alexander Edler. Those are guys that I would build my lineup around, just core. Now, in terms of stacking with those guys, again, I'm not committing to the Devils tonight, so I'm not sure if I would stack Taylor Hall with anybody. I like him as a standalone. Same thing being said for Sebastian Aho. So this is a nice lineup. You plug those four players in, and you can pick your stacks tonight. I hinted at Chicago being a team I like, but you know, you can make the decision for yourself.
I like it. You have Aho, I have Svechnikov. Either way, a good opportunity for some scoring against the Philadelphia Flyers, even though it's a road game. In terms of lock of the night or against the grain play of the night or over under, what are you feeling here?
I've got Anaheim winning outright tonight against Minnesota. I love that pick. That Anaheim team is so sneaky, great for gamblers because not everybody's all over that team. And then Toronto, on the flip side, that is the, you know, everyone's all over it. But with JT back in the lineup, -1.5, get in on the Maple Leafs while you can.
I like the Stars at home to win outright. I like the over in the Winnipeg-New Jersey game. And then against the grain little play of the night, I think Chicago beats the Sharks and really puts the hot seat on Pete DeBoer. It's not pretty right now, and this is a make-or-break four-game homestand for the Sharks.
Man, if the Sharks drop that game, which I can totally see happening, I mean, there is going to be serious fallout damage. With that core group of guys, you just think, how can they be losing like this? But holy moly, -11 seems to be like a constant thing in that team.
I got three words for you guys. Sharks are shot.
Let's get that going.
They're shot, and I believe Pete DeBoer will likely lose his job. As far as my locks of the night, I'm going to give you a little parlay. You can play it either way you want. Toronto's going to be a part of that parlay. You could either pair him with the Islanders, or you can pair him with a lesser favorite, the Calgary Flames at home. But I don't see Toronto losing this game against the Kings. So take them, parlay them with whatever other team you think is going to win.
Now, the prop bet season should be starting here, too. So for coaches, you know, first to go, I think we can all agree that Pete DeBoer is sadly probably at the top of the list.
And I love Peter DeBoer. Great guy. Has had success in Jersey and San Jose. But this team is shot. And a big reason why is the goaltending, let's be honest here. But they need to mix it up. And if they can't find a way to string together a couple wins, I hate to say it, they have no choice but to let Pete DeBoer go.
Yeah.
A sneaky name on that list. I mean, no one's been fired yet. But a sneaky name to watch over the course of the season, I think, is John Cooper with how that team has struggled out of the gate. Kucherov's not producing. Hedman's injured right now. Hopefully he plays out in Sweden. But that is, I mean, no, I know it's no longer a regular season, you know, point of emphasis, but still, I worry about that team and where it's going.
And just for the record, we all hate talking about, you know, the coach's fate, whether they'll be fired, let go, whatever. In my opinion, there is no way in the world that John Cooper is going to be let go during the regular season. I just, I cannot see it. They gave him a big contract extension. I think the whole goal of this team is just get in the playoffs and let's turn it around. I cannot imagine John Cooper getting fired during the course of the regular season.
Yeah, just to reemphasize, I don't want to see a single person lose their job no matter what industry they're in. So just to reiterate that. But from a gambling perspective, you've got to talk about it. People love these prop bets. It's catching on real quick on Twitter. So
yeah, for sure. And we'll see. It's an opportunity here. I mean, if they sweep the four-game homestand and it's doable with some of the teams on the slate, you win that last game, you beat Edmonton, all of a sudden you're looking at a completely different picture for the Sharks.
I'll say this and then we'll go, but have we seen any sign of life from the Sharks? I have not, throughout the course of the entire season, I have not seen one sign. And again, a big reason is the goaltending. You cannot win games with the goaltending that they're getting. But with that being said, I am not seeing enough pucks go into the net. I'm not seeing any signs of life. The coach is calling the team soft. Eric Carlson has done squad douche. I just haven't seen a sign to say, you know what, the Sharks are going to get this thing righted.
Well, I'll say, going back to goaltending, I mean, there's got to be a game in the National Hockey League where your goalie bails the team out. And that simply will never happen with the two guys the Sharks have in net right now, unfortunately. So that, to me, is the core issue. But, you know, hey, for fantasy purposes, if you're picking Martin Jones up in season-long leagues, what are you doing?
I mean, the only guy that's shown anything to me this year is Evander Kane. He actually scored a big goal the other day. It would have been a big momentum shift against the Jets, but it got overturned from something away from the puck. So that's just a tough break. And they've had some games where they've had like 45, 50 shots and still lost. So that's a sign that something might be coming.
Well, I'm hoping they turn it around, because not seeing those group of guys in the playoffs would be a little bit sad. But if you didn't get to any of your questions today, hit us up on Twitter or Instagram. I'm at NHL Reese, Pizza NHL Jensen, and Bob is at Air Checked.
Whoop de whoop.
Whoop whoop.
Well, thanks again to Chris Wassel for hopping on the show. And reminder to check out the new podcast, Puck Culture with Jackie Redman. Also, a new episode dropping today with Dan Rosen and At the Rink.
And just for the listeners out there, the head coach of the Florida Panthers, Joel Quenneville, will be on NHL At the Rink. It should be a pretty good guest. Hope you tune in.
And don't forget to rate and review, please.
Yeah, we're racking up the reviews here, and that's a big get for Coach Q. I love it. So thanks again for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. For Bender, Reese, Wassel, Jensen, so long. Talk to you on Thursday.